Scene 6, Thomas Valier, 4:45 p.m. I picked up a copy of Evergone, resenting that it was there, resenting that it looked as good as it did, resenting that it would do as well as I knew it would. "Is one of these for me?" I said, with an attempt at lightness. "No," said Tom, "not just yet, Darius. These are autographed door prizes. Tomorrow Giles will be autographing a new printing of hardbacks of Crossover. Each one will be numbered. And there'll be a drawing, and the lucky winners will get autographed copies of Evergone, I understand." I looked at the volume again, opened the cover, and glanced at the front flap matter. It was clear at once, as I had suspected from the title, that it was a sequel to Crossover, or at the very least an independent book set in the Crossover universe. I couldn't blame Giles for trying to ride the wave, but I bet myself 4-1 that it was a poorer book than the first, and 4-3 that it would flop. I wasn't so foolish as not to recognize a strong component of envy there. I was tilting the odds in my own favor egregiously. Giles' picture filled the back of the jacket. He was caught by the photographer in a look of particularly cow-like dejection, and it must have been taken at least a year earlier, for his mustache, which he had begun to grow after he became a published writer, was still relatively thin, and it had not yet reached the state of tangled undergrowth that now spread over the upper lip and into either cheek. I placed the book back on the pile and said grudgingly, "I suppose it can't help selling." "It had better," said Tom, looking despondent. "The advance was 10,000. "What?" I had never heard figures like that from Tom. I didn't know Prism Press could count into five figures left of the decimal point. I had had a 3,000 advance for my own forthcoming book, and Tom had acted as though he was cutting his heart out and placing it still palpitating in my greedy claws. "It was either that," Tom said, "or forfeit the paperback rights." "In that case," I said, "you have a bargain. The paperback ought to net you at least 100,000 advance, and you get half of that." "Well, maybe. You can never tell when the bubble will burst. The paperback houses have been overpaying drastically for some books that haven't made it, and for all I know they'll draw the line at this book. As a matter of fact," he dropped his voice, "this book isn't as good as Crossover." I said, "You didn't think Crossover was all that good either when I first gave it to you." "Whatever I thought, this one isn't as good." "Naturally." I thought to myself with a kind of grim smugness that the new one didn't have me plugging away at it. "What do you care?" I said. "It will sell anyway." "So much the worse," said Tom, in what seemed like downright despair, "because in that case the third book doesn't go to me." "He didn't cross out the option clause in the Evergone contract, did he?" "No, but he's going to ask, in writing, for a 50,000 advance toward his third novel, and when I can't meet that, and I can't, he'll be free to go to one of the big houses. Harper's, perhaps." "An option clause, my friend," he said bitterly, "only holds authors who have nowhere else to go to." "Like me, Tom?" "I didn't say that." I shrugged it off. Tom's estimate that Evergone wasn't as good as Crossover made it possible for me to sit inside the Prism Press booth and sample the book. It was in what was clearly Giles's choppy style, and I came across a forceful and roughly eloquent passage at first opening. It petered out, though, into a sinuous trail of trash, twice as long, something I would never have allowed to stand if I had had anything to do with the book. I spent 20 or 30 minutes at it. Giles could still keep you reading, even without my help, while Tom began to close down the booth for the day. I was actually cheering up a little, and then a new voice distracted me. "Darius!" The breathy catch in the throat quality was instantly recognizable. I didn't have to look up to know it was Teresa Valier, the other half of Prism Press. "Darling," I said dutifully as I rose, put the book back on the pile a second time, and embraced her.